I'm Frank Vaughn, and it is Saturday, March 29th, 2025, and in this edition, we're going to be discussing everything Mark Carney in Brookfield and the rising momentum for Western separation. Let us begin. I want to use a good chunk of time discussing Mark Carney today, and there's so much material when it comes to him, almost as much as Justin Trudeau. But first, I need to remind people that the Liberal Party underneath Mark Carney's so-called leadership is the same Liberal Party that has governed this country for the last decade. This article from March 28, 2025, just yesterday, China election interference in this year's federal election. China has once again stepped up on activities to interfere in the upcoming Canadian federal election. Liberal candidate Paul Chang seeking re-election at Mark and Unionville. So keep in mind that this man is already sitting in your house. Recently spoke openly about the $1 million bounty placed by Hong Kong police on Zhou Tai, a conservative candidate at Don Valley North. To everyone here, you can claim the $1 million bounty if you bring him to Toronto's Chinese consulate. Why isn't this big news? This is China's man advocating for the kidnapping of a Canadian citizen and delivering him to the consulate so the Chinese can extradite him. This is shocking. Mr. Chiang openly encouraged people to assist in Chinese interference and transnational repression. Rather than protecting Canadians, he betrayed them and jeopardized them in their own safety. This is a translation because he said these words in Chinese. A man running to represent you in your House of Commons. Further from the article, we have an example of a Liberal minister sucking and blowing at the same time. Last December, when Hong Kong police announced a bounty on Tay and other members of the Hong Kong diaspora around the world, Minister of Foreign Affairs Melanie Jolie warned that attempts by Hong Kong authorities to conduct transnational repression abroad, including by issuing threats, intimidation, or coercion against Canadians or those in Canada, will not be tolerated. Is that why the Liberal Party has a candidate advocating for that very thing? Why is it that this article, which was published yesterday, which also highlights that incumbent MP Kenny Chu, Stevenson Richmond East, was defeated in the same election by an orchestrated disinformation campaign organized on WeChat, Chinese social media? The evidence of mass-scale foreign interference in the resource colony we call Canada, all these people talking about Canadian sovereignty is long gone. We are now a plaything of foreign powers. But while all of this is being discussed in this article, this is what CBC is doing. This is what CTV is doing. This is what Global News is doing. Is Polyev too in sync with Donald Trump? Nobody is asking the question, are we too in sync with China? Are our people lying to us as China works to interfere and seize ever more of our government? No one's asking that question, and it should outrage Canadians. It certainly outrages me. And instead of telling you about how your country has already been captured, your sovereignty has already been sold out from under you as they virtue signal about Canada standing on its own while you have been crushed already, Singh says NDP would cap food prices to help with cost of living. This is what the CBC chooses to tell you about. Who cares what Jagmeet Singh has to say? The former leader of the NDP, Thomas Mulcair, is openly advising voters to not vote for the NDP, to unify. And this is incredible. The NDP is supposed to be the party of the working class. That's how they bill themselves, the party of the middle class. They have all of this outreach to the poor and the working Canadians, yet their former leader is advising that you vote for a guy who ran two central banks, the world's premier globalist. You don't get more oligarch than Mark Carney. It's not just the positions, the public positions that he's occupied. It's the business positions that he's occupied. There's a lot of people talking about how Mark Carney is going to come for the Canada Pension Plan, which is a mandatory tax that takes almost 12% of your income before income taxes are assessed and shoves it in a so-called savings vehicle, but you can't make withdrawals from your pension. You can't get any money out of it early, and it is not yours. You have entitlements against it, but you have no control over what they do with your money. But I got to tell you, before Mark Carney came back to Canada, before he became Liberal Party leader, his institution, Brookfield, in talks with Canadian pensions to create new $50 billion fund for domestic assets. The firm is seeking $36 billion from pensions and $10 billion from the federal government. Toronto-based investment giant Brookfield is in discussions to raise a new $50 billion fund and is seeking backing from some of Canada's largest pension funds and the federal government. Brookfield, which would administer the fund, is looking for $36 billion in commitments from a group of pension funds and $10 billion from Ottawa, according to two sources with direct knowledge of the proposal. Brookfield itself would contribute $4 billion, only $4 billion, said the sources, and the logic agreed to not name them because of the sensitivity of the discussions. They're already in the public piggy bank. They're already raiding your pension funds. Now, I've just said the closest thing that I'll ever come to a lie on this channel, and that is that they're your pension funds. They're not. Once the money leaves your pocket, you have no decision-making ability as to where it goes. I covered on this channel years ago how the CPP is buying beachfront property in India, and you don't even know about it. And here's another one from 2022 that directly involves Brookfield. CPP investments to buy Brookfield's India Roads portfolio, valued at $1.2 billion, centers around three specific toll roads and other assets. You are heavily invested in a highly polluting India, in an undeveloped country. When they virtue signal about carbon and they virtue signal about the environment and they virtue signal about pollution, when they talk about climate change and the fact that, or what they call the fact, it's not actually a fact, that sea levels are rising, which they're not, satellite images that you can go and look at on Google Earth right today that go back 40 years will show you that your beachfronts have not changed. The sea is not rising in any measurable way. Now, they do publish some numbers, but you can see the truth with your own eyes. The CPP, and Canada in general, if we really cared about climate change and we really thought it was a threat, would we be buying beachfront property in the United States, in India, all over the world? If we really cared about pollution, would we be investing in the hopes of making a return in some of the most polluted countries on earth? Back to the point, this is Brookfield raiding your public pension fund. The headline is, Mark Carney will maintain oil and gas emissions caps, environment minister says. So the idea that Alberta could get unleashed, could actually see more prosperity under the Carney Liberals, is false, just like it was for the last 10 years. They might virtue signal about energy independence, but they're never going to deliver it. And they don't care to even try. They're not interested in your votes, Western Canada. They only care about Quebec and Ontario, as it has always been, and certain other major urban centers across this country. Now, Alberta has a legitimate beef, and I would say so does Saskatchewan, with the federal government. Albertans make disproportionate contributions to the CPP. This talks about how over the years, Alberta, that tax that I talked about, that 12% of your wage that just gets taken from you and you have no control over it, you can't make withdrawals against it, it's gone. Effectively, it's not yours. That, I'm trying not to swear here, and I'm trying not to get excited because it's robbery. It's far more robbery than even income taxes. They take it off you pre-tax. Brookfield's already been raiding it, which I showed you already. And Alberta and Western Canada is paying a greater and greater share of that funds, of your, I can't even call it contributions, the money that is seized from you without your consent. You know, in Canada, we have this thing called progressive income tax. And there's a certain income threshold, I believe it's around $15,000, underneath of which you're not taxed. However, your CPP, the percent of your income, no, the income threshold, I'm sorry, it infuriates me. The income threshold at which your earnings are subject to CPP is $3,500. So if you're some kid, you're 16 years old, you got your first job, after the first $3,500 you make, 12% is going to the CPP. Now, you only see, if you're employed by somebody, you only see half of that. The employer pays for the other half. But it's 12%. Self-employed people know exactly what I'm talking about, because there's no way to get out of it unless you structure yourself. I'm starting to understand that there's certain corporate structures that can make it so you don't have to pay into this thing. But for the average pleb, you can't get out of it. And Alberta is getting ripped off so that the fund can be raided by Brookfield whenever they've got assets they want to dump. The headline is, Alberta bill aims to keep feds away from energy facilities. So this idea is that federal enforcers will stay away from resource production sites in Alberta. Understand that under our federation, the resources underneath our feet do not belong to Ottawa. They belong to the provinces. And this has been a battle that the West has had to fight against the East for a long time, a lot of years. This has been litigated over and over and over again. Get back, Ottawa. It ain't yours. It's ours. And the headline is, Saskatchewan Premier Scott Moe backs Alberta Premier Smith's controversial U.S. advocacy efforts. Why is it controversial? They have done far more for Western Canada than Ottawa ever will. We prosper because of the Americans, not because of Team Canada and the government in Ottawa. We prosper in spite of them. Another thing I disagree with is Scott Moe backs Alberta Premier Smith. Scott's been leading the way. I've been critical of some of the things that Scott has said, but here we're going to celebrate a lot of what Saskatchewan has demonstrated. We have been the tip of the spear in this province versus Alberta, which is actually following us. The messaging surrounding this hasn't been entirely clear, so let's clean some of this up. Saskatchewan, to enshrine its refusal to collect carbon tax on heating into law, Premier says, provincial law. The rebellion on the carbon tax that Scott Moe initiated, the only premier in this province, the only premier in this country who did illegally refuse to collect at least a portion of that tax. The move was illegal. It took a lot of courage to do it. And guess what? Saskatchewan won. But nobody is going to tell you that story. No one is going to tell you how the rebellion in Saskatchewan worked. And now he's taking it one step further. Before the carbon tax has been entirely repealed in the federal legislature, Scott said, we're just going to stop collecting it altogether right here in Saskatchewan ahead of time. We won. No one's telling you the story. Province demanding answers from feds on allegations of trespassing on private property. This is another area where Scott and the Saskatchewan Party has led the way. So Premier Smith is banning them at energy facilities, banning feds at energy facilities, which is a good thing. We should celebrate that. But we did it here first, August 22nd of 2022. We had federal officials trespassing on private land to test dugouts, ostensibly to try and create jurisdiction for further interference in how land use management right here in Saskatchewan. So the Moe government immediately responded demanding answers, but they went further. They said that any federal official that was caught trespassing on private land without cause would be arrested. That's what we did. And the federal government once again backed off. We won. Saskatchewan's been doing a lot of this stuff. The Saskatchewan Revenue Act introduced the Saskatchewan Agency Act, Revenue Agency Act. Today, the government of Saskatchewan, this is December 2022. Some of the things that brought me to this province over any other Western province was the fact that I could see that Saskatchewan was leading the way. It's got a small population. It's easily ignored by the rest of the country. I would say it's one of the jewels in Confederation. It's one of the most undervalued places. The culture is amazing. People here are amazing. If you like rural living, this is where it's at. And if you like good, long, clean winters, it's also a wonderful place. The winters here are underrated. People fear Saskatchewan winters because they're cold, but they're very clean and they're very dry, and you can always layer up. It's not a big deal. The cold's not a big deal. If you're of like mind, you might want to consider coming here because housing is still cheap. The opportunity that existed, I thought it would disappear by now. The opportunity to leave BC behind or leave Ontario behind and come here and find yourself able to invest in business, able to find work, able to find cheap housing. It still exists today in 2025. People talk about housing shortages and the rising prices of homes. It's still cheap here. It's one of the best kept secrets in the country. But don't come here with your leftist values. We have enough of that problem down in Regina as it is, and maybe we'll get into that. The Saskatchewan Revenue Act is among the steps our government is taking to protect and defend Saskatchewan's economic autonomy, industries, and jobs from federal intrusion and constitutional overreach. This is us taking back tax collection from the federal government again. We're leading the way here in Saskatchewan. There's also the absolutely reprehensible targeting of legal, lawful firearms owners, the literal best Canadians, the most vetted people. We're more vetted than newly landed immigrants in this country. Under their orders and counsel, they have banned thousands of firearms in an unjustified way. Under C-71, they have mandated that many previously legal, non-restricted firearms are now all of a sudden prohibited, and they're instituting a buyback. Saskatchewan has said, not on my watch. They created something called the Saskatchewan Firearms Act, which creates such a regulatory burden on Ottawa, it effectively nullifies their ability to seize those firearms, and it deprioritizes the targeting of lawful, legal gun owners. Now, you might say, you're still risking everything to take a rifle that's been banned out of your safe. And you are, to a degree. But you have the backing of the Saskatchewan government, and they have effectively slow-rolled the entire process with the Saskatchewan Firearms Act. So we have to hope, as a gun owner, you have to hope that we have a conservative government that gets rid of all this stuff while we continue to work on all these other issues that I've been highlighting, these sovereignty issues, because Mark Carney's the grim reaper for this country. But Polyev isn't necessarily going to be able to snap his fingers and fix this federation. He's already said he doesn't want to address equalization. He doesn't want to open the federation back up and examine how it is unfairly designed, basically around Quebec. These are problems that are going to keep on simmering regardless of who takes office. But I can tell you, if the Liberals win and form the next government, the separatist movement starts the very next morning. All of this is just to remind people that Saskatchewan's not a laggard. We've actually been leading the way on a lot of these issues. And as much as I would like to see Mo's language get stronger when it comes to criticizing Ottawa and when it comes to our friends south of the border, we should all remind ourselves that actions speak louder than words. And speaking of actions, Brookfield leads race to buy Colonial Pipeline, Bloomberg News reports. Mark Carney's former company, they absolutely love the oil industry, just not Canadian oil. As he talks about caps to Canada's energy production, this is Brookfield. While he was there, increasing their investment in every other nation except Canada. So elbows up, didn't apply to their acquisitions. They didn't have enough faith in Canada to actually allocate their resources to Canada. Now, I said I would respond to this. Quantum Life says, hey, Frank, this may be a bit off topic, but I would like your input. Trump withdrew from the WEF. He's been approached to declare the WEF a terrorist organization. Carney is WEF. We already know Trump is five steps ahead of Carney. If Carney wins and he allows the WEF to plant its evil flag on Canadian soil, they would be in direct breach of Chapter 27 of the USMCA. So let me just dispense with this already. We've already violated the USMCA. Those articles are already in breach by Canada. You could even argue that the Americans are in breach as soon as something comes back across the border in the form of illegal guns. But when it comes to the USMCA, our government, as we started this video, being overrun by people who represent the interests of foreign governments already violates that. The fact that our ports are wide open, that we've got triads operating here, that we have terrorist financing and money laundering happening at scale here in Canada, means we're already in violation. No offense to this idea, but you don't need any of this. We're already there. But getting back to Mark Carney, it is not an understatement to say that there has never been a more technocratic, oligarchical, totalitarian, openly running for the highest public office in Canadian history. This is an article that quotes him when he was the Bank of England governor back in 2019. Regulators should embrace digital ID. I have been reading speeches from this guy. It's not just that he wants digital ID. He says the government itself shouldn't be the issuer of digital ID. It should be the central bank. That they're the only people who can manage the digital ID properly and implement its control and centralization. So he wants to take the issuance of ID, which you depend on for banking and every other interaction in your life, out of the hands of your publicly elected government and put it in the private hands of the central banks. That's Mark Carney's desire. I've talked about, or I tweeted last night, to crypto bros, because I know a lot of people on the left are involved in crypto. He is openly advocating for the takeover of cryptocurrency by the central banks. It's not just central bank digital currencies, which are bad enough on their own. It is the fact that he wants to treat all crypto assets via financial regulation, that they should all have the same standard as the banks. This is what he was talking about back in 2021 and prior. Carney warns CBDC delays play into hands of big tech. This is 2021. Now, you may have problems with big tech oligarchs. I do as well. But Carney, his problem is competition with the central banks. He's on the record. Mark Carney, dollar is too dominant and could be replaced by digital currency. He's an open advocate for the end of the U.S. dollar and more so for the end of individual currencies in our countries. He wants to digitize everything. It's not just CBDCs. It's the replacement of the global financial system. He is a champion. Canada's new PM, Mark Carney, pro-CBDC, anti-decentralization. This is from March 26, 2025, but the articles I just showed you go back years. Former Bank of England boss to head Bloomberg board. So this is a media company. This is in August of 2023, not that long ago. So we've got Brookfield Investment rating your pension funds. We've got Mark Carney advocating for CBDCs, digital ID issued by central banks out of the hands of government. We've got Mark Carney heading media conglomerations. We've got Mark Carney and his investments abandoning Canada for other areas of the world. They talk about climate change and emissions caps here, but they're investing heavily in countries that don't recognize any of those things. We've got Mark Carney, sedition in Ottawa. Carney refuses that screwed up. Hang on, we got to get that back. We got to get it back. Sedition in Ottawa. Carney refuses to comment on his Freedom Convoy condemnation. Nobody wrote stronger words in condemnation of the Freedom Convoy than Mark Carney. He was all for the seizure of bank accounts. He was all for calling in the military to put it down. He was all for using sedition laws to target protesters. This was back when they were demonizing the Canadian flag, before they decided to flip their script and all of a sudden issue an edict that Canada was back on the menu. This is literally the Canadian public. You're being played. You're programmed. You're being told when to be outrageous. You're being told when to lose your minds by the people who are robbing you blind, by the people who have sold this country out, by the people who allow your nation to be dominated by every other nation's interest, who have turned Canada into a resource colony, who have mass immigrated your culture out of existence, told you that we're nothing but a cultural mosaic, a post-national state, and that we have no core identity. Now it's elbows up and the Canadian flag. You need to vote against this. There is an argument to be made that Carney will hasten the decline of this country, but he could also preserve the Federation under this new totalitarian mindset, and every opportunity you have for increased autonomy and freedom may disappear and evaporate before your eyes. You can't reward this. If you elect Mark Carney, whatever sovereignty Canada has will be gone forever. He will give it away to New York. He will give it away to Davos. He will further erode it to the benefit of China and every other nation on this earth. And our position as the world's premier resource colony dominated by foreign influence will be cemented forever. Digital ID, central bank digital currencies, your pension plan being raided by his allies in Europe and Brookfield. These are all things that will happen. What is wrong with the leftist mindset? When did they become the champions of big government technocratic solutions? We're talking about virtual dictatorship, and the left is applauding for it and scared that somehow Polyev is too close to Trump, the one person on this planet who's actually trying to push back against the globalist agenda. We should be celebrating what is happening in the United States. We should be looking at it critically. We should not be embracing a central banker whose public positions are some of the most horrifying things I've ever read. I can't believe that this is the position we're in right now, that this is the choice Canadians have to make. And I also can't believe that people would play fool in this election and think that this vote doesn't actually matter. It does matter. There's never been anything in Canadian history like Mark Carney. If you value this work, please consider supporting it via the website. You enable it. You share it. You like it. You make it happen. I'm just the producer. You guys are the messengers. I'm Frank Vaughn, and I'll see you in the next one. Did you know that I have a website? FrankVaughn.ca, the ultimate repository for all of my work, and a backup location just in case the censors come for me again. And if you like the content, please consider using the donate link in one of the options available. There are no paywalls, there is no advertising, and there is no Patreon, and I intend to keep it that way. Thank you for your time and your consideration.